Okay, so good evening. Thank you so much for joining us here this evening. Thank you, God, for the rain. It's wonderful. I'm not a farmer, but I'm sure the farmers are very grateful for the rain. We've got a funny venue here, in a sense. So this is like not normal. We are not normal. I like that. Don't want to be too normal. Because this evening I want to speak to you in this series of three messages. I want to speak to you about going beyond the norm. You know, do funny church and live a funny life that's just different. That just stands out amongst the crowd. Who wants to settle for normal? Who likes really boring, normal, average? Anybody? No. Maybe like a braaiki, but must be special meat. That makes all the difference. I want to, before I share, explain a little bit about what I'm going to be speaking of. I want to sort of tell you a story. There was this athlete, and he has been practicing his whole life for the 100-meter event. So he's been practicing his whole life, like 20 years, looking forward to this moment, this big moment where he was going to run the race of his life. And so he's practicing for 6 days a week, even sometimes when his pastor didn't look, he was practicing on Sundays. And he was just passionate going for this. He wanted to be the best. And so the big day comes. 20 years of practice, he is excited. I mean, he's a machine. I mean, he is, the muscles are bulging. He is, if you see him at 100 meters, you'll see the calves exploding. He is like the man. And so it comes and he takes his mark. And he is tense, but at the same moment, he is ready. He's been practicing his whole life for this moment. The gun goes off, and he's away. And he runs like he's never ran before. Explosive. I think you got that, but explosive, okay? And so he storms over the finish line at 9.2 seconds. A world record. He can't believe it. He falls on the floor like those guys at Wimbledon do, and he kicks himself, and it's just amazing. He did it. He did it, and he got get up, and he gets his flag, and he's running around, and he's going mad. And then he realizes there's nobody there. There's no crowd. There's no competitors. There's no friend to whom he can go and say, "Wow, did you see that?" Or a mom that comes to him and grabs him by the cheeks and says, "Oh, you're so proud of you." Or his little son coming to him and say, "Oh, Dada, you're the best." I mean, none of that. There's nobody there. It was just him. 9.2 seconds. So what? What's the point? What's the point of achieving something as awesome as that, but there's nobody to celebrate it with? There's nobody to give a high five to. There's nobody to just, they can share this journey, this achievement in his life with. What's the point? Now, I'm thinking about that, and I just realize we take so many things in life for granted. Friends, family, loved ones. We weren't designed to be alone. It was never meant to be alone. And so in these three messages over these 3 weeks, I was just amazing that we know relationship is important, but as I was preparing, I just realized, but it's really important. It's really critical. It's really the substance of life. You remove that. Imagine that. I mean, it's like you don't even have to remove people in a sense of people don't even have to die. You just lose the relationship. And it's like they're dead. Ever thought about that? It's like they're dead because there's nothing there anymore. And that's how relationships are so critical. And I want to move a little bit this way so somebody behind the fridge can see me. But friendship is a gift. Friendship is a gift. It's the most special gift that we can ever receive. So tonight, and I'm just going to give you a thin slice. The topic of relationship is massive. So I just want to give you a little bit of a something there about going beyond your own ability. And each week I'm going to start in the physical and then I'm going to move over to the spiritual. And I really trust that it's going to add value to your life. So thank you so much for coming, and it's really great to have you with us. Okay, so a parable, beyond the norm. I want to share a parable with you. The world is like a flat lens. Everything is flat. The norm is flat. And then there's this huge mountain in the midst of all this flat. This big mountain, it's called the mountain of God. It is something God has given you and given me to take us beyond the norm, to allow us to lift up out of the norm. And I believe that mountain is like its destiny, its purpose, it's why you were made. Your very wiring was designed for the mountain, to climb it, to go for it, to take a journey, and this journey will and could take you all your life. But when you come to the top, when you come to the pinnacle, it's like living a fulfilled life. It's completing the life that God has destined you to live. It's not just having a journey that's just boring. It's having a fun road to walk and then to achieve this thing at the top. And I want to just share the scripture with you. Philippians 3, verse 12 to 15. Now, this is a man who went beyond the norm. So I want to challenge us. I want to talk about relationships in the context of going beyond the norm. In the context of achieving something in your life that you could never have achieved by yourself. And listen to this. The Apostle Paul, a man who went beyond the norm. It says, not that I have already attained. I've not reached the summit yet. Or am already perfected. But I press on. I am climbing my mountain. I am walking this journey. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind. And I'm reaching up. I'm reaching forward to this pinnacle, to this goal. And it says that I press toward the goal for the prize. There's a prize for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now I want to focus on that in a moment. Upward call of God. It's like this. At the top of the mountain, God is in a sense there. And so God is calling you and me. He's calling to us. He say, Come, take this journey. Don't settle for the flat lands. Don't settle for mediocrity. Don't settle for the norm. I've destined you for so much more. And so that call is going out to each and every one of us saying, come forward, come up, come and take this journey. When I was younger, when I was just ending off with school, I didn't really desire to go beyond the norm. I never had the desire. I just wanted to be happy. That was my desire. I wanted to be happy. I wanted a good job, a good income, and a good wife. I was just happy with the norm. And I must say, I don't think that is the norm. Even that isn't the norm, but we're striving for that norm. And then God got a hold of me. When I was about 19 years old, he got a hold of me and suddenly he gave me so much more. God got hold of me and I started on this journey on this mountain. So I saw this mountain, I was starting to walk. And now I have a great job. I work 2 hours a week. It's awesome. I have an amazing income in heaven. And I have an awesome wife, the best thing that God could ever give me. But along with that, God gave me a purpose. He said, climb the mountain and you're going to know fulfillment. Because I didn't. But when you have purpose, when you have a pinnacle, when you have a goal that you're going for, life starts to make sense. And I believe relationships as well start to make sense in the context of where you are going. There's one snag in this mountain thing. You cannot possibly ever reach the pinnacle on your own. You cannot make it on your own. God has designed this mountain in such a way that you can't reach it. You can't make it. Even like that athlete. If there was an athlete that could do 100 meters in 9.2 seconds, I guarantee you, he's got great family. He's got maybe a wonderful girlfriend, a wonderful wife who's on the sideline 6 days a week and saying, I believe in you. And when he was struggling and he was crying and he was wanting to give up, his wife told him, no, don't give up. I believe in you. There are no self-made people on the face of this earth. No self-made people. If we would hold on to friends, we're going to make it. We need friends. You and I, we need friends. And not just any type of friend. You need a beyond the norm friendship. It's sort of a DMF. A destiny-minded friendship. It's my own makeup. It's me. I'm going to patent it. It's powerful. Destiny-minded friendships. It's friends taking the journey with you. It's not you walking that mountain on your own. I want you to see this mountain. I'm going to apply it in the rest of this message. Is friends walking with you, having the pinnacle in mind. And so in the process, you all win together. But you can't win on your own. Okay, so friendship is a gift that enables you and me to go beyond the norm. I want you to remember this. Friendship is a gift that enables us to go beyond the norm. Okay, so what's the norm and what's beyond the norm? Just one or two things. Normal friendships, normal relationships, they are selfish. It's self-focused. That means you ask the question, what can I get? What can I get from you? That's the norm. Beyond the norm, it's unselfish. It's friends focused. It's what can I give you? How can I bless you? How can I help you on your journey to your destination to fulfill your purpose? The norm, merely for fun. It's only about the fun. There's no purpose. But beyond the norm is destiny focused while having a ball. Lots of fun, but while we're skipping up the mountain, we're going somewhere. We're not just skipping in the flatlands, okay? We're skipping up the mountain. We're moving forward. And so the norm is wasted opportunities. That's the norm. We have these moments in our lives and we waste a wonderful opportunity to help somebody on their way up the mountain. But beyond the norm is we invest in every opportunity. I'm just thinking about a bachelor's, for instance. Now, in general, in our society, a bachelor's, you know, that male event just before the marriage, I believe it's usually a waste in general. You know, the guys break one another down, they usually get drunk, they can't remember much anyways of the next day, and most of them feel bad for some of the things they did, said, what happened. So it's not really helping the man up the mountain. Okay? Sometimes it's actually helping him down the mountain. And then I'm thinking of situations where it's beyond the norm. I'm thinking of Quibus. Quibus is one of the members here. He's bachelor's. That was brilliant. All his friends from all over the nation, they come and they are here and they abduct him like you should. And they've clothed him funny like you should. And they did all the funny stuff with him. And everybody was having a ball, having fun. It was great fun. But that evening around the fire, Don't know what it is, but all the men were standing around the fires. Are we wired? We must be around the fire. We must have a ball in the hand, or we must have a TV. Otherwise, we feel alone. I don't know. So, all standing around the fire, and then these guys start, nobody's drunk. Yes, they're drinking a bit of wine, but nobody's drunk. And so they encourage him. They speak into his life. They say, Kubus, this is what blesses me about you. This is what excites me about your life. And then the guys start sharing out of their lives like tips, wisdom for taking his marriage to the next level. Even those guys who've never had a date in their lives shared with Kubus the key to a happy marriage. But it was profound. It was special. We left there edified. We left there built up. We left there thinking this was a good investment. And Kubus was pushed up the mountain a kilometer or two. And he was ready for his marriage. And I believe that is beyond the norm friendship. So I can give you many other examples. Next week I'm going to give you other examples as well. So there are challenges of climbing the mountain of destiny. If Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9 says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. Two friends can help one another to succeed. Now, when I became a Christian, if I would evaluate myself, I would think Superman. If you could look in the spirit, you'll see me with my cape. You'll see me with my underpants over my pants. And I was Superman, okay? In the spirit, I didn't really do it. But it's an amazing thing about this becoming a Christian, especially if you're a young Christian. You think you're Superman. And so I was up on my mountain. I had my mountain. I had my purpose. And I was off and away to infinity and beyond. And then as I went to infinity and beyond, I missed the root, little root, tree root in the way. And I slipped and stumbled over the root. I fell out my front teeth. I broke my leg. I shredded my cape. Which is probably a good thing. But, you know, we start off idealistic, thinking we're going to take over the world. And then as we go on our wonderful journey of climbing the mountain of life, we fall our teeth out. And we stumble. Supermen stumble. And that's unfortunately what happens. And I have learned over the 12 years that I've been a Christian, I've just learned you need a friend in those times. Mountain climbing is a dangerous hobby, and so is living life. Anybody living life? It's dangerous. It's dangerous. You can truly get hurt. And so I have this one friend. His name is Heinrich. He's the chauffeur pastor in Pretoria. Now, we started off in the same office in Stellenbosch, and he's an encourager. He's a wonderful guy. But I was in the ministry for about 6 years, and then we were put together in the same little office. Both of us entered that little office with shredded capes, broken leg, teeth out. And then we found this wonderful thing, a friend becoming my crutch, in a sense. My crutch to healing. My crutch to restoration. I remember we were there together and we were like, I mean, my lip was hanging on the floor. I was about to give up. I mean, there's these times in your life where you're thinking, why am I climbing this mountain? What am I doing here again? Leave the pinnacle. I'm going back. It's easier there in Norm. Flatlands. It's easier down there. And so there's these times in my life where I turned around and I was walking down again. I was walking back. I was wanting to give up. And this friend of mine, he really changed my life. And I think I changed his as well. I was there in Pretoria a few weeks ago. When he introduced me, he got so emotional he couldn't speak. Because he remembers, you know, the gutter time together. Scrumming with our crutches, you know. Come on, man, you can do it. Yo, man, you too, man. You can do it. hopeless. But those times of hopelessness, when of two friends, when two people who actually just their eyes open and they look at one another and say, I believe in you. You can make it. You can do this. And that's what happened with us. We just flatter one another. We have this slogan, flattery will definitely get you somewhere. We flatter one another. We don't do it in general with other people, but we flatter one another. So we start off just flattering, say, you're the man. No, 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 you're the man. No, you're the man. No, 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 you're the man. And then at some point of time, you actually start believing it. You're the man. Not really. Remember, cape is shredded. No cape. Okay, no supermen. There are no supermen in this life. Supermen can do it on their own, but not humans like us. And so this friend of mine, Heinrich, he's an encourager. He encouraged me. He helped me to get healed in my heart, on the inside, to believe again. And we just had a ball of a time. We didn't work so much. We were on the internet watching cricket scores and things. But it was great. And I just realized the value of a friend. A value of somebody that encouraged you. A value of somebody that believes in you. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. To 10, speaks of the supermen falling. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, which all do, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. And I found that there are many of us who are falling alone. Many of us that are isolated. Many of us that get into trouble, real trouble, and there's nobody you trust, and there's nobody you can share your heart with. And that is not what God wants. And that's why we're doing the seminar, so we can start focusing what is important. So the second one, the first one is supermen stumble. Number two, second challenge on the mountain of life. There are icy storms. The higher we go, the greater the storms will be. It can get extremely cold on top of the mountain of life. I read about the guys climbing Mount Everest. The one time they were climbing up the mountain, they were a relatively big group of guys, and they came to a little tent, shredded tent. And they found this guy inside. He was frozen stiff. His name was Maurice Wilson. And he climbed Mount Everest with three other half-hearted porters. And at some point when he wanted to continue on, they fled. And he went on and he froze to death. Now I think there's an important lesson we can learn from that. There's about 120 plus men who have died on Mount Everest. It gets cold and very dangerous on the mountain of life. The higher you go, the colder it gets. The further you want to go beyond the norm, the more of a challenge it's going to become. So friendship is a gift. On the one hand, we help one another higher. On the other hand, we pull one another higher. But there's another thing. When the storms of life comes, do you know what happens? It's like our hearts become cold. I don't know if you've experienced that. Somebody hurts you. Somebody wounds you. Somebody you trusted drops you. And so your heart becomes cold. Yeah, a lot of cold hearts in the world. And so we sort of just live with it. But I don't believe that's the will of God. If you have a good friend, you get a fire-making friend. A fire-making friend. Somebody who can, while you're sitting there, help. Heart's freezing up. You need a friend. I remember the one time, I've shared this before, but I have this friend. He's a real fire-making friend. He's a lovely guy, joyful, funny guy, but he's also very direct. Very direct. Hy skiet reguit. Translate for the English people. He shoots straight. And I remember we're sitting in this coffee shop, and I'm like bitter. I'm like angry about stuff that has happened in my life, and I'm just fuming all that anger. And so when I was expecting this friend of mine to say, oh, shame. Tiens doesn't do I shame. He's the pastor in Shofar, Cape Town. He doesn't do eye shame, you know. He looked at me and he pointed his finger and said, "You better sort that yourself, eh? Your heart. It's fraught." What's that in English? It is sick. It is fraught. I mean, that just says it's a wealth. Fraught. It's not lekker. You know, and I was sitting there and I was like, "Oh, how dare you point your finger at me?" And then I was just convicted and I just realized, you're right. My heart isn't right. So I sat there and I said, "Okay, I'm sorry. It's all me. It's always me." Don't know if anybody experienced that. My sympathy. Because it's always me. Well, not always anymore. It started off with always me. But you need a friend who can be direct with you. If you only have people in your life that always tell you how wonderful you are, and they don't tell you when you're going off track, you're going to fall off the cliff because your friends didn't love you enough. You need a direct friend. You need somebody that can tell you when you go to your friend and you tell her how bad your husband is and how terrible he is and this and this. You need a friend that can tell you, "No, stop that. You don't talk about your husband like that. He's actually a great guy. If you would just open your eyes and believe in him." You need a friend like that, not a friend that says, "Oh, shame, shame, shame." Sometimes, yes, depends on this case, depends on the situation. But sometimes you just need somebody to say, "Hey, come on, try again." So that's a fire-making friend. True friendship, Proverbs 27:6. It says, "Wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy." And I take that. If a friend points his finger at me, I'd rather receive that than lots of wonderful people telling me how awesome I am. Get the right people around you. Next one, enemy attack on the mountain. You're going higher. You've stumbled, teeth out, you've recovered, you went to Leon and the other dentist in the house, and now you've got your tooth back, and now you're walking up the mountain, and now you get cold, and now you've got your fire there, and your buddy is bringing the fire along, and so you're warm. And now you go further, and now it gets tense. Now the enemy comes for your relationships. We are in a war. And the enemy knows it. If he can't isolate you, if he can break down your marriage, your relationships, your friendships, if he can get you alone, he can take you out. And that's often what happens. So, alone on the mountain, cornered by soldiers from every side, you're in trouble. You need a soldier buddy. You need a soldier buddy. You've got somebody that can come in, storm in there with a cavalry, call in air support, bring in the tanks, and shoot everybody dead. In the spirit, obviously. Ecclesiastes 4:12, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. See, it's in the Bible. I'm not just making this up. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. A while ago, I went back to the Cape, and I had this one friend of mine on my heart. And so I was hectic program, but I phoned him. I said, "I'm coming over." He's busy. He said he can't really, but I just knew I had to get to him. So I came to him and we started to talk and I realized he's in a corner. He's in a corner in terms of the challenges in his heart, the challenges in his mind, and nobody knows about it. He hasn't told his wife. He hasn't told the people around him. They don't know. And here I come. Machine gun Kruger. I'll be back. I'm here now. I'm going to shoot. And it was just amazing because then I prayed with this friend of mine. That's shooting. Praying is shooting. Don't misquote me. Praying is shooting. Praying is when I prayed with this friend of mine, as I prayed for him, it's like air support from heaven came in and set this friend of mine free. He was going through absolute hell. Absolute hell. He was in a corner. The enemy was about to kill him completely. But he had a soldier buddy who could listen and hear. "I need to go help." Do you have a soldier buddy? Do you have somebody you can walkie-talkie? Help, help. I need help. Friendship is a gift that enables us to go beyond the norm. The fourth challenge of climbing this mountain of life. the seduction of success. Then there are some of us, we are so purpose-driven, we are so focused on where we want to go that we storm ahead of everybody else and we find ourselves on our own. Without our family, without our loved ones, without our friends, storming ahead, we weren't designed to reach the summit on our own. The goal is never more important than the friendships. Both are equally important. You can't have the one without the other. You need the friendships and you need to go for the goal. Your life depends on making quality friends today. Imagine Barack Obama, the president of the United States. He is now at the pinnacle of success in that country. Imagine he has no friends. The wheels come off. Now, where on earth is he supposed to go cry? On his secretary's shoulder. Now, we've seen that with the previous presidents. That don't work. That don't work, okay? You need a friend. You need somebody that has gone with you on that path for 25 years. They know everything. You trust them. You're at this place that if you tell them something, it's highly confidential. People can really get hurt. But you've got a friend. You've got a friend there. Do you have those type of friends? And so you need a covering friend. Now, Sonika, she's my wife. She's my best friend. She's my covering friend. There's a scripture, Jeremiah 31, 22. The Lord will create a new thing on earth. A woman will surround a man. A woman will surround a man. And I think that's so beautiful. Of a woman covering her husband, covering the man in her life. So what a friend I have in Sonika. She is my cheerleader. I send out an email, distribution list to all the members in the church. Nobody replies, but my wife. And she says, "You're the coolest pastor." I say, "Yes." Somebody believes. She's my best friend. You know, when you were unsure, she said, "No, you can do it. Try again. You can. I believe in you. Go for it." I've realized I cannot fulfill life without my friend, my best friend. She'll always be there if I cherish her, if I fight for her, if I honor her, if I pray for her. And so we have these friendships in our lives, or we will have these friendships in our lives, and we need to realize what we have. Next week, I'm going to talk more about marriage and date, maybe dating, and I don't know where I'm going to go, but I believe I'm going to talk more about that. But I'm walking on this mountain, I'm walking on this journey, and my wife is with me always. Except when she's sleeping. Well, even then. And I can share my experiences with her, and she can share her experiences with me, and life is just wonderful. So friendship is a gift that enables us to go beyond the norm. You need a covering friend. You need somebody that you can share with your worst. Your worst. And she won't freak out. But she's there for you. And then another challenge on this mountain of life, almost at the end. Dangerous friends. Dangerous friends. Dangerous friends. Now, this is a biggie. Now, imagine this. There's a lion and a springbok. Springbok speaks to lion from a distance. "Good morning, Mr. Lion." Lion responds from a distance. "Good morning, little springbok. Why don't you come a bit closer and then we can talk?" "Mr. Lion, I am so sorry, but not today. You see, unless you become a vegetarian, our relationship will have to remain at a distance." Is that so? Yes, that is true. Now, it works the same in our relationships. We need to realize who are the lions and who are those who will build us up. You see, there's a scripture, Amos 3, verse 3. It says, "Can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction?" Anybody try that lately? Okay, let's walk together. And that person going the other way. It can't work. It's impossible. So unless there's a change of nature, for instance, say you're a Christian and you want to follow God. That's in your day. You want to up the mountain. You want to fulfill that destiny. But you've got somebody in your life that says, "I want nothing to do with God. I have no desire. I have just no. I'm going that way, flatlands. Yes." Now, what happens if you get really, really close to that person and you start walking with them? What will happen? You're going to go down the mountain. You're going to go in the opposite direction. And so you need to choose wisely. You need to choose wisely who your close friends will be. This is really sad to me. But it is shocking how many Christians have lost the plot after dating or marrying somebody that pulled them down and away from God. It is shocking how often this happens. A lady friend of Sonica, we knew her as a student. She was always dating the wrong guys. She felt sorry for them. They had no relationship with God, no desire for God, but she'd feel so sorry for them, so she would always be there for them and help them. In the process, she got like physically beaten, lots of stuff happening to her, and she's always going back. She's like this weakness in her heart. And the one time we were praying for her, and Sonica saw a picture. Now, pictures, like when you pray, it's like almost like God reveals something to you about the person. So she saw a picture in her mind's eye. And in this picture, she saw this friend of her walking on the sidewalk. And then there was this manhole in front of her, an open manhole. And then she saw that in the manhole, like snakes and scorpions and things, and this friend of hers walked open eyes into the manhole, fell into the manhole, and the manhole got closed over her. And spiritually speaking, that is what happened to her. She lost the plot completely. Completely. So don't fall for the trap of the enemy. This is my little warning of the evening. Always ask this question. Will this person draw me closer to God or away? Away? Well, then don't date them. Please don't marry them until there's come a change. Our love for people should never be at the expense of obedience to God. If you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, it probably doesn't really matter. But if you're a Christian, so with whom can I be friends? Say you're climbing the mountain. You're going up higher and higher and higher. Can you only be friends with people on your level? Do you think that's so? No, I don't think that is so. As you're climbing the mountain, there are other people maybe just starting off on the journey. They're way down there. Can you be friends with them? Definitely. But there's a but. They need to have a willingness to walk with you. They need to have a willingness to move forward with you. They need to have a willingness to say, "I'm also going beyond the norm. I'm going slowly, but I want to go beyond the norm." I see, for instance, we have these cell groups or teen groups with teenagers. I have this at Selborne and with some of the Sterling High School young people. And so I just so enjoy their company. I can be friends with them because they're so excited about walking with God. So I can be friends. We can be close friends even because there's a willingness to grow. And so we can say, let's go beyond the norm. Let's go for it. Let's not hold back. So you can be friends with anybody. Friendship is a gift that enables us to go beyond the norm. The wrong friends can cause us to go below the norm. The good thing is, you always have the option to have your friends join you. If they're going the wrong direction, they can join you. There is that possibility. So don't give up. Okay, so friends, forever. I'm finishing off. Friends forever. As you're climbing this mountain, you pick up some wonderful friends along the way, the beyond the norm friends. You're going for the pinnacle. Do you realize that the only thing that you and I can take into eternity, the life after death, is friends, relationships, people. The friendships that you invest into in this life could actually be for eternity, forever. You can take them with you forever. It is worth it. It is worth investing. It is worth fighting for your friendships that will help you go beyond the norm. Okay, so very shortly how. I don't want to give too many. Next week I'm going to go more practical. This evening I want to make you think. I want to awaken inside of you an understanding of the value of friendship. That's the starting point. You need to understand it's valuable. And so a few points I want to encourage you this week to start. Number one, pray for the right friendships. Ask for insight. So sometimes it's just a person under your eyes. You just haven't seen the potential. Needn't be somebody far away, or could be your neighbor. We don't always want to be friends with our neighbors. But you need to ask for insight to see. I look at the friends in my life. Some of them I would never, ever imagine that we could become so close. But I saw some potential, and I started to invest in them. Number two, now that we're talking about beyond the norm, not norm, beyond the norm. Get a common cause. I've read some books about war, about soldiers, and they say the type of relationship that is built when you're together in the trenches and there are bullets shooting over your head, the type of friendships that you develop there, it's for a lifetime. For a lifetime. So you need a cause. The best friendships won't be developed drinking tea together. The best friendships will be developed when you start following a cause together. I think of sometimes when I went on missions trips. We went to Tanzania, 20 students, 10 guys, 10 girls. And so we drove 10 days in a very slow 4x4. 10 days to Tanzania at about 20 kilometers per hour uphill in some of the mountains. And so we got lost somewhere in the northern parts of Zambia. And it was about 2 o'clock the night, so we were chasing this way, and we realized we're going the wrong way. On the border, there was a war on at that time in the northern parts of Zambia. Tanzania is more to the other side. And so we're chasing that way, and then we turned around, and we were chasing back at a 20 kilometers per hour speed to the other direction. And then in the middle of the night, there was a roadblock with no lights. A roadblock with soldiers with AK-47s, 20 students who didn't see the barricade and drove through. Soldiers swinging AK-47 around wanting to shoot somebody. But there was bonding happening right there. We were bonding. We were seeing visions of heaven and everything. And it was just wonderful. But we did something together for God. We say we're going to go on a mission trip. We're going to do something together. Some of the best friends I made was when I joined the choir. In our church in Stellenbosch, I joined the choir and I saw this little lady, girl there, young lady, behind the piano. And she had this little hat on with a big yellow sunflower. And I said, man, I got to marry that woman. Got to marry that woman. No, I didn't say that, but I did marry her in the end. I did marry her. That was my wife. She was, but I met her there. Guys, singles, choir, when you start a choir. It's the only way to meet your spouse. So get a common cause. Do something together. Not just fun stuff, but actually cause stuff. Number three, invest time and effort. It will cost you to invest in friendships. I phoned my friends. I got this Telkom 1,200-minute, free-minute contract on my phone at home. So I'm on the phone with my friends to Pretoria, Cape Town, different areas, talking to them, sharing. It's great. And then a few practical things I'm going to get into next week, so you have to come back. I'm going to go into practical things, how to nurture friendships. Then I want to ask you a question. What price would you pay to have friendships that take you beyond the norm? What price are you willing to pay? Are you willing to fight for it? Are you willing to invest? Are you willing to be uncomfortable? Are you willing to, I'm going to talk about that next week as well, there's some things you need to do to build genuine, real relationships. It costs you something. And now just to end off with, I want to do us a video. We're not going to do a video because Jesus doesn't want us to do a video. No video. Okay. Your closest friend. I wanted to do a video. My lip is hanging on the floor. There's the closest friend. I can't talk about this topic if I don't talk about my closest friend. Now, my closest friend is an expert mountain climber and guide. That one. And he changed my life. Proverbs 18:24, it says, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. A friend that sticks closer than a brother. You see, when I was younger, I struggled in relationships. Although I had the natural wiring to have good relationships, I struggled for some reason because of the baggage I was carrying with me. I had all this weight upon my shoulders. My parents divorced when I was standard four, and I had lots of issues in high school and things. So I had one good close friend, but the rest were just sort of acquaintances. We could get drunk together, but that was about it. Until God got a hold of me, until I met my closest friend Jesus, until he did a miracle on the inside of me. He healed me, gave me the courage to make myself vulnerable, so that I can have genuine relationships with people. So many of us have these walls around our hearts because we've not been restored on the inside. And I believe that if you give Jesus an opportunity, he will help. He is the ultimate friend that will never fail us. But I'm not going to talk so much about that tonight. I'm going to, in weeks to come, maybe we'll come to that a little bit more. But if you are in the middle of the storm, I don't know where you are on your journey. You're in the middle of the storm. You're somewhere on this mountain. You're in a corner. Your heart is cold. You fell out your teeth. You don't have a crutch. You like completely, your cape is torn. You are alone. It's an amazing little thing a little prayer can make to say, Lord Jesus, I need some help here. I need a friend to pick me up. And you'll never be alone again. It is as simple as that. So let's stand. I just want to pray for us. Now this closest friend, he is able. And I want to show you an awesome DVD that I will show you in heaven someday. Let's just close our eyes. I want to pray for us. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for friendship, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that friendship is a gift that will help us to go beyond the norm. And so, Father, Lord, we pray for each one here. God, I don't know where they are, in the flatlands, just starting on their journey on the mountain, already halfway up or even close to the apex. Lord, you know. Lord God, you know sometimes the chaos in our relationships, Lord God. God, you know how many of us sometimes we feel isolated, we feel alone. Sometimes we choose the wrong friends. Sometimes we get ourselves in trouble. But God, we thank you that you are that closest friend if we are just willing to pray to you and invite you in. And so, Father God, Lord, I pray for a stirring in our hearts to start valuing friendship like never before. Lord, that we'll start praying and start trusting you, that our eyes will open to see the treasure, the gift that is right in front of us, right around us, but we never saw it. And so, God, I pray this evening, Lord, that our eyes will open. Lord God, I pray this evening that our priorities would change. Lord God, I pray that we'll come to have friends that last forever, with whom we can enjoy the journey and at the same time reach for the apex where life makes sense. God, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. We bless you.
When I am down and oh my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burden be, that I am still and wait here in the silence than I can be.